I'm Marcus Ellsworth, and I'll be reading you The Age of Iron, America's Industrial Revolution, The Robber Barons, and the Making of Modern America, 1865 to 1920, by Susan Elaine Cromwell. Let's begin. Aragaju, the factory nation in 1865. The United States was a nation of farms. The Civil War had just ended, leaving 620,000 dead and a southern economy in ruins. But even the victorious North remained fundamentally agricultural, a country of fields and villages and small market towns where most Americans grew what they ate and made what they needed in small workshops or at home. The great cities existed, but there were commercial entreposts rather than manufacturing centers, processing the agricultural produce of the interior and distributing the goods of small-scale manufacture. The economy that Lincoln had presided over was recognizable to Jefferson, who had celebrated the yeoman farmer as the foundation of Republican virtue. The economy that would emerge by 1920 would have been incomprehensible to him. The transformation that occurred in those 55 years was the most rapid and thoroughgoing economic revolution in human history to that point. Steel production that barely existed in America before the Civil War reached 24 million tons annually by 1910. Oil, which had been a curiosity before 1859, became the foundation of a global energy system. The railroads knit together a continental economy, converting what had been regional markets separated by prohibitive transportation costs into a national market accessible from a single manufacturing location. The corporation, refined as a legal instrument, concentrated capital on a scale that individual proprietors and partnerships could not approach, making possible enterprises of a size that previous generations would have regarded as fantastical. The men who built this economy have been called robber barons and captains of industry, depending on whether the speaker emphasized their rapacity or their achievement. Both descriptions contain truth. Andrew Carnegie and John D. Rockefeller and J. Pierpont Morgan did create wealth on a scale the world had not previously seen and did deliver to ordinary Americans goods and services that had previously been unavailable or unaffordable. They also did so through methods that suppressed competition, corrupted governments, exploited workers, and concentrated economic power in ways that democratic politics found threatening and ultimately intolerable. The moral accounting of the Gilded Age has never been definitively settled, because the genuine achievements and the genuine abuses were too intertwined to separate cleanly. This is the story of that transformation, of the steel mills and oil refineries, the railroads and the factory floors, the immigrant neighborhoods and the tenements, the libraries and the labor strikes, the antitrust suits and the regulatory commissions. It is the story of how America became the world's dominant industrial economy in two generations, and what that dominance cost and created for the people who lived through it. The Foundations, H.E.65-1888. Chapter 1. Steel, Andrew Carnegie and the Bessemer Revolution. The making of steel in the mid-19th century was a craft practiced on a small scale by skilled iron workers who converted pig iron into the stronger metal through a laborious process of heating, hammering, and reheating that took hours and produced small quantities. Steel was expensive, used for cutlery, springs, and other applications where its superior strength justified the cost, while iron served most structural purposes. The revolution that transformed the situation came not from an American, but from an Englishman, Henry Bessemer, who in 1856 patented a process for producing steel by blasting air through molten iron, burning out the impurities in minutes rather than hours, and producing the metal in quantities previously impossible. Bessemer's converter was the pivotal technology of the late 19th century's industrial transformation. By forcing air through the liquid metal, it generated sufficient heat to burn off the carbon and other impurities that made iron brittle, producing steel at a cost and volume that immediately made it competitive with iron for construction purposes. Steel rails lasted many times longer than iron rails. Steel structural members could support loads that iron could not. Steel plates could be made thinner and stronger than iron plates of equivalent weight. The entire infrastructure of the industrial age, the railroads, the bridges, the skyscrapers, the ships, became possible in its modern form only because Bessemer,